Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for being with us today. As Janie and I look at the blessing that comes with having a pure heart, Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." It's really important for us as Christians today, in all the struggles that we are seeing in our nation and around the world, that we be salt and light to those around us. But we find that we're struggling ourselves instead of being a beacon of hope to others. So we hope to encourage you today as we discuss the heart, because blessed is the pure in heart. Well, Janie, whether we're talking about the crowns we will receive when we get to heaven or the repentance that we need here on earth, it's all about our heart and knowing our position in Christ. And Paul shares in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me."
Excellent scripture, Sharon, because what that basically tells us is that all of our earthly endeavors must have an eternal goal in mind. And that goal is to maximize the glory that we can give him. And in his giving us crowns, which he had to enable us to receive by his faithfulness, we give them back to him for his honor and glory. And that makes me think of that everything in life is according to Romans 11:36. Everything is by him, to him, through him, and for him.
So it's more about our heart. It's more about our relationship with the Lord and coming to that place of understanding your position in Christ.
That is vital, and I'm glad you brought out those points in that sequence, because it doesn't matter how well we look in our performance or how sincere our desires are. If the heart's not right, Sharon, nothing is right.
Yeah.
So we need to check the heart, because the Lord says he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness that we need to live here for the heart to be right.
Uh-huh.
And then how do we subtly allow our hearts to be drawn from our first love?
Well, let me just read that real quick, Janie. It's Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5. It says, "Nevertheless, I have something against you, because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and will remove your candlestick out of its place, except you repent."
Which is what had to happen if we were going to be well-pleasing to him when we see him face to face.
So if we know this, Janie, then why do we have such a hard time purifying our heart and cleansing it out?
So we many times don't want to reveal the heart because there may be some wickedness in it, but the Lord says, repent and let's get on with it. Sometimes we believe that being upfront and honest and being truthful from our hearts is showing weakness, and we don't want to look bad.
Right.
So we so subtly fall into the enemy's camp of thinking and compromise our condition in our walk.
Can't our heart also be deceived? We can look at our heart and think that it's pure, correct?
Absolutely. And Jeremiah says guard your heart, because it is easily to be deceived. The heart is deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? I'm not sure that anyone can really know your heart except God Almighty.
And so he's the one we need to look to examine our heart, as David did in Psalm 51.
And And that is perfect. And then you do that by building a lifestyle that we have been called to in Christ. And so you can never really have your position once you are in Christ compromised as far as your security of your position.
Okay.
But boy, you can sure mess up your condition.
So our position is his child, but our condition is how we have chosen to apply the scriptures.
How you see the scripture, usually through your own understanding of the scriptures, even when you're really looking for the purity, if you are not waiting on the Spirit, which means that you need to be controlled by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, so that he can give you the mind of Christ, which we already have positionally, but the Spirit has to open it up to us conditionally or practically how we can know the truth.
Well, some really depend on theologians to tell us truth from the platform, and others pick and choose what to hear from the platform. And since our heart can deceive us, it's really a tricky line to walk.
Yes, and you said some very, very good words there. And there's one I would like to add to give balance. What is the heart's motive?
Okay.
Is my heart motive to know Jesus Christ in the way that he prayed in John 17 when he told the Father, I want them to know us as we know each other? Now, I'm paraphrasing
right.
in John 17.
Absolutely, okay.
And that was his desire. So do I want to have wisdom in the scriptures so that I can really sound good to somebody else? Do I want someone to envy me with the spiritual gifts that the Lord has given me? Or do I want to know my Father's heart because I have the desire to have him as my first love?
In a more intimate, deeper, closer relationship.
Exactly. So the Lord can discern what is Sharon's heart motive mm-hmm. for the time that she spends. What does Janie really want to proclaim in the words that she says?
Right. Okay. God knows our intentions, so if we want to have a pure heart, we can ask him to reveal what those intentions are to us and show us what he wants for us.
And then as I look at the scriptures, it can tell me that the Lord wants me to be a witness. He wants me to manifest who he is, but I must first empty myself so that he can fill me with himself.
Okay.
And that's a time of process being worked out. And we should not grow weary in well-doing or get discouraged when we mess up.
Well, I tell you, Janie, it's hard not to get discouraged when we mess up.
Sharon, we've said many times on this program, and we'll say it one more time today, one of the best schools you can ever attend to know the heart and the mind of God is a school of failure.
Yeah.
Please don't grow weary in failure when your heart motive is to know the Father.
Amen. And maybe that's something we should keep in the front of our thoughts, that when we fail, we can seek to know him more through that failure. Because I think what happens to us in failures is that we start thinking that God may be mad at us because we keep failing, or we're nothing but a failure. So we continually go through this cycle, and our discouragement becomes so big that it overflows into our relationship with the Lord, and then we're not even faithful to spend time with him anymore.
He says that he will be faithful even when we are faithless, but if we deny him, he'll deny us. That's in Timothy. So let's rest in his sufficiency as we yield to him to keep our heart motives pure.
And even though we mess up, we are still his child, and that's our position with him.
Yes.
You know, in Galatians 3:26, it says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus."
Absolutely. And that's really what the book of Galatians is doing. The church there had accepted who Christ was and is by faith, but there was a lot of, shall we say, lingering rubbish in obedience to what the Lord had commanded from the law. But the Lord then said, I've brought a better thing to you. The law serves its purpose in drawing you unto me, but now you have a greater gift, and that's the law of love, which frees you from the law of having to obey for acceptance.
And then out of that heart of love will obedience naturally come. But we no longer live under the law. We live under grace.
And you know, Sharon, grace doesn't always make things easier for us, but it does give us security. It does give us assurance and consistency that our life will not be lived in vain. So grace is about the good times, and grace is still about the bad times. It's all of grace. We have to trust how God wants that administered. Now, that's not to say that the law is bad. Absolutely not. It had its purpose. It was to show the people where they were blind, where they had lost their way, and to draw them unto repentance.
Right.
Seeing where they had gone astray and how to return to their first love and that their hearts be purified. But Sharon, they were resisting. They did not want to give up their comfort zone of where they had once been approved. And now something better had come via the cross and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they weren't wanting to leave their old comfortable system. And we have that many times today, even in well-meaning saints, not wanting to leave the old thinking of their denomination or how they were brought up.
The traditions of men.
Traditions of men. Need I say more? Traditions right. of men.
And the traditions of men usually involve some sort of doing. And we get caught up in the doing outreaches, doing services, doing rituals, doing good works. And we forget the being, the resting, the relationship, the just being part of being a Christian.
Yes, because we're trained that way.
And not that doing good works are bad, they're not, but not at the neglect of being. So could it be that when the Lord is talking about work, he means work in our heart?
Character. We look at our security and our position based a lot on as we see the character of God. And Sharon, stop and think. You're raising children. How much time, and I'm not asking for true confession now, all right? But how much time have you really dwelt on building character in your children? When they want to scream and holler about my will, my way, have you really started to not allow that indulgence, but you've come back with character of what they need to sustain? I had something happen the other day that to me just fits perfectly, and that is I was around some precious little children who were acting obnoxious. And the goal of the parent was to quickly find a pacifier so we could pacify their nastiness, not correctly deal with it. Now, that's a thing that society has made more acceptance.
Because dealing with it, Janie, takes work. And in our busy lifestyle, we don't have time to deal with our children properly. We pacify in private so we can do our work, and we pacify in public to save face.
Absolutely. Now, in the old days, if you dealt like a rebellious child, you were disciplined like a rebellious child. But now we reach for the pacifier. And that's what society has trained us to do, is to pacify the flesh rather than actually deal with it. Now, I'm not advocating any kind of cruelty or harshness or anything, but how can we ever bring a person to maturity as they grow if we're constantly looking to satisfy and pacify?
I think we forget that we have a responsibility as a parent to guide our children in truth, but we tend to turn that responsibility over to the church.
And unfortunately, many of our pulpits today, where we are looking for guidance to know how to live, are pacifying us because to deal with the nastiness of the flesh in truth is very threatening. And if your heart motives are not right,
and it requires difficult conversations, accountability, and follow through. A lot of people don't want to do that.
Sharon, I don't know about you, but I know if I commit a sin and when the Holy Spirit convicts me, the agony, the depth of discomfort that I feel until it has been confessed, reckoned with, I know I'm forgiven, but the Bible tells me to keep short accounts. So can you imagine God Almighty in the flesh and in his humanity, even though he never left his deity, but in his humanity, he had to bear the heaviness of the sins of the world throughout creation? I can't find words to comprehend that, much less to understand it in my own heart.
Well, you know, Janie, the cross isn't being taught to the extent that people would grasp all that the cross provided for us. And so we live our life in a compromised position, expecting God's blessing, and at the same time, rejecting his love.
If to set us free, the Lord had to make provisions for the nastiest, painful death that humanity can ever see or know, why in the world do we try to find a soft pad to get by in life, to get ready for eternity? Stop and think what it took God Almighty to send his son, the depth of the love, to go through pain that we will never be able to understand, with him taking sin upon him for all of humanity.
Well, Janie, that's because we're not living out our lives in preparation or teaching our children to prepare for all of eternity. We are preparing for our future here. So therefore, we only want the good things of the scriptures that will pad and aid our life here.
Absolutely. We are brought up and taught, Sharon, from the time that we are children, some of us starting school as early as 4 years old, and the emphasis is put on educating yourself for working. Right. And you spend almost 20 years in education so that you can have the kind of job that you can live in this world and in this society. And what would happen, Sharon, if we put equal emphasis on preparing our children for a walk with the Lord in consistency? Now, many parents do a marvelous job in training their children, but nowadays in our society, we do put the initial emphasis on working to receive for the temporal. And I will hope that a generation will arise, maybe through difficulty, Sharon, to where they will see that they need to prepare long past 60 years possibly of working here on earthbound, to where they need to be preparing for 10,000 years plus in the eternal, which is where we are all headed.
Yeah. So when we understand our position in Christ and what all Jesus did on the cross for us, don't you think that it is a lot easier for us to walk in the fullness of the life of Christ here on earth in understanding his blessings and the trials and tribulations that we go through?
Yes, and that's going to be activated, if we can use that term, by a life of faith. And where I believe we are struggling today with some of the times that we're living in, we want to focus on the sentimental enjoyment of his blessings.
That is so true, Janie. And his blessings have flourished in this nation. You know, Christians in America really have had great freedoms and liberties that has given us a pretty comfortable life.
And yet he has told us that as he bore the cross for us, he has now asked us to bear our cross for him. And there's a difference, because I can never bear your cross for you, because I can never forgive your sins.
Right.
But I can sacrifice for you, which would be taking up my cross, so that you may receive the benefit of seeing a godly walk in another person that cares about you with his love from a true heart motive.
So basically, it's all about the heart. It's all about the relationship with him. It's all about coming into a closer, more intimate, deep understanding of what that relationship entails.
And then find ecstatic joy by simply loving the God who is all in all.
And for him to be our all in all, we have to surrender all. And sometimes that is difficult, especially when we read in Scripture things that are difficult for us to receive, are difficult for us to comprehend, and even difficult for us to accept.
Well, have you not ever had a conversation, and perhaps with me, Sharon, where we're discussing things and you think, okay, I like that part of the conversation, but I'm not so sure I like that other part of the conversation. So we pick and choose what we want to accept on what the Father has told us. And he didn't give us the option of picking and choosing what we wanted to believe that he said.
Right.
If you do not accept everything that Jesus Christ said to you, you will become offended with him.
Okay.
And that's what happened in the Gospel of John, where the Lord said some difficult sayings to the disciples, and they said, "This offends us," and they walked with him no more.
Right.
They went to their own understanding.
Well, in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." So, when we take this scripture into account, then leaning not on our own understanding is really has to do with every aspect of our lives and really having ears to hear what he has to say, regardless of how we feel about it.
So what I guess we would need to say, just to summarize today's visit, is that Jesus Christ has given us everything that we need to prepare us for a life of eternity with him. And if we choose to compromise that, he will be faithful to his children who have been given, who have accepted him as their Savior. But there will be sadness and loss when we choose to compromise and just have selective hearing.
Right. All right. Well, Janie, I believe that's all the time we have for today. Would you like to close us in prayer?
Yes, yes. And Father, we do thank you for today. And Father, you have to make every word that is said plain and understood. It is by your Holy Spirit's faithfulness that we can comprehend the truth of the Scripture. And we praise you that you have devised the divine way that you want us to grow in grace and knowledge. Father, for anyone listening today that may need to know your Son as Savior, we ask that you draw them by whatever means that they can hear and understand and recognize that they need you for life and for life forever and abundant. And Father, for those that are home free because of their position in Christ, Father, that they not be taken in deception or compromise or disillusion because you're not performing the way they think you should, but that they can lay all expectations at your feet, and you will show to each one of us your glory and your care and your solutions, so that you alone may receive all glory as we walk, live, trust, and abide in you by faith. And Father, we give you these requests, knowing with the assurance that as we wait on you, they will be answered as our hearts are according to your hearts. And once again, Father, as always, in your Son's precious name, His character, and His authority, and for all that name represents. We praise You, we thank You, and we trust You. Amen.
Amen. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzlaff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again, or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.